Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our new website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans, and welcome to episode number 64 of our little radio show we like to call the Peristyle Podcast. Today is May 6th, 2009, and we have a very exciting show for you this week. On the podcast, we're going to mix up the lineup a little bit. We have Gerard Martinez, our USCFootball.com recruiting analyst, batting leadoff. We're also going to talk to Coach Harvey Hyde later in the show and USCFootball.com beat writer Dan Wyke. We're going to draft the USC Trojans team, the current team that we have in the spring. We're going to draft those guys, make two teams, and see, you know, let you guys vote on which team's better. So it's going to be some interesting stuff this week on the show. If you have any questions or comments, you can always drop us an email. podcast@USCFootball.com is our email address. And like I said, I wanted to welcome in the first segment, Gerard Martinez. Gerard, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, happy. I hope you had a good Cinco de Mayo. Everyone out there celebrating. I got a Corona Light here with me as we're doing the podcast. So just
It sounds like you had a couple margaritas and a Corona. You better settle down there, buddy.
All right, we're settling down. You know why I'm excited, Gerard? Do you know why?
It's Cinco de Mayo, but what else?
Okay, well, we have an audio question on the podcast. And I try to encourage people, if you can save an audio file, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that, with your question, we will actually play on the podcast. So instead of us reading what the question is, we can actually play it. You can hear your own voice. It'll be out there. All the thousands of Trojans fans that listen to the Peristyle Podcast, they can hear it as well. And we have
the passion of the question. We get the emotion of the recruit, Nick. I love it.
I do love it. And we have, you know, we have a lot of questions today for you, so we have to try and go through rapid fire. But if you send an audio question, it is definitely getting on. So first up, this one's from Rich. Gerard, here's for you.
Gerard, I was just looking over the Rivals 100 list, and it looks like Chantrell Henderson is the number one rated player right now, who's an offensive lineman. I was looking back at the old list, and it looks like the highest rated, at least in recent history, was Mike Adams from last year, who topped out at number 3, and then Andre Smith, who was rated number 2 in 2006, and I think he just got drafted pretty high in the draft, so obviously that worked out for him. The question is, what are your thoughts on Chantrell Henderson? Is he really that good? He must be pretty amazing. And do we have any shot at all landing this guy at SC? Thanks, guys.
All right, Gerard, what do you think? Pretty good, huh?
Great question, Rich. Yes, USC first and foremost has a good shot at Chantrell Henderson. He is the number one recruit in the nation, 6'8". 305 pounds listed, probably a little bigger than that at this point. A lot of people project him as a left tackle, and obviously left tackles are of a lot of value, even when you're talking about college and going in the NFL draft, and that's why those guys go high in the draft. Yes, SC's got a good shot. What do I think of him? I haven't seen him in person. I saw Mike Adams in person, and the unique thing about Mike Adams and not so much Andre Smith, but some of the linemen like DJ Fluker last year, they started out low. They came in when I was 100, ranked in the 70s, ranked in the 80s, and didn't really get the big bump until after the Army All-American Bowl. So Chantrell Henderson is kind of in a unique situation where he's at the top and all he can go is down. So we're going to have to see him in person. You know, I've seen him on film. I like him on film. The guy's got good feet. He's athletic. It's just a matter of how physical can he be, how aggressive can he be, and is he tough enough? He doesn't play against the greatest competition in the world, so that's going to be a question. But, you know, obviously right now I think USC needs offensive linemen, and he sounds like he might be the best out there this year.
All right. Thanks for the answer, Gerard, and thanks, Rich, for that question. Anyone else? Remember, podcast@USCFootball.com. Especially if it's an audio question. We love those, and we can play them on the air for you. You can hear them. Gerard, so we have a whole bunch. I have a big list here in front of me of different questions. I'll try to get to the best ones and try to at least, you know, some people submitted multiple ones. I'll try to get to at least one from every person. First up, does SC really have to worry about Ronald Powell's recruitment against Florida? And with Powell getting a fifth star, can we expect Xavier Grimble getting his fifth star anytime soon?
First on Grimble, committed to USC, tight end out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He probably will get his fifth start because at this point he's ranked in, I think he's 24th, which usually it's the top 30 guys are five stars. It's not like that right now, but as we get into June, as we get in over the summer, usually the five stars start to fill out. This is still kind of a pre-evaluation period for the rankings, so they're really very, you know, kind of stingy about giving five stars out early, and they rather give less than more. And but, you know, I think if this was, you know, September, if this was October, yes, he would be a five-star recruit, so I think you can expect that as long as his ranking stays basically where it is relatively. You know, the second part of the question, what was the second part of the question?
Ronald Powell,
USC has to worry. I mean, you have to worry about every player. I mean, just because he's a local kid and you know, USC has some obviously good ties with Rancho Verde doesn't necessarily mean he's a lockup kind of guy. I think that you have to recruit every kid hard, and Ronald Powell, he likes USC, but USC's got some depth at defensive end. We'll see how that shakes out throughout the year. But, I mean, he's a guy they got to fight for, and I think Florida's there, and obviously he's got family in Auburn that live actually in Auburn, Alabama, so Auburn's going to be on him hard. He likes the SEC, likes the idea of playing in the SEC, but whether or not that's applicable and whether or not he really can go that far and play away from home, that's kind of another story. But, you know, Florida was the first school to show up to his high school for an evaluation. They showed up last week. They try to make a good impression by doing that. So they're definitely battling. Florida's coming into Southern California, and they're trying to kind of, I think, send a message to USC. Hey, you're going to come into Florida and take our guys. We're going to come out here and do the same.
Wow, okay, good stuff. That question was from Martin, by the way. He's Trojans Freak on the message boards. Thank you, Martin, for that. He has a couple other ones. We'll try to get to those later, but I want to go through some other questions here. This one's on kickers. We don't get a lot of kicker questions, Gerard. It's from Bobby. What do you look for in kickers? And maybe you want to comment on what do you think the USC coaches look for. And it seems like he said it seems like they're only walk-ons or ones taken after they have spent a year or two in college. And I guess you could say the two kickers that are battling it out this spring, you know, you have Joe Houston, who I believe spent a little time at a JC, and also Jordan Cameron, who Jordan Congdon, who kicked at Nebraska before he came to USC.
Yeah, what do I look for in kickers? I look for them to kick field goals and kick the ball far on kickoffs. That's about it. I have no clue as to what to look for in a kicker when it comes to technique. The result is basically, at the end of the day, what you look for in kickers, for my layman's, you know, as far as evaluation goes, because I never kicked and I have no idea about kicking. So, you know what? If he kicks a lot of field goals and he can kick them far and he can kick the ball in the end zone, take them. So, this year, to add to that, it basically looks like USC's looking at a punter. Number one on the list is the only guy who's got a scholarship offer. That's Matt Barr out of Bakersfield, and he likes USC a lot, 6'2", 215. A little reminiscent of David Buehler. He's a big kid, plays linebacker, but he doesn't kick like David Buehler. He's a punter, and he really would be a specialist coming in to just punt the ball. He's really looking at ASU, too. He likes Arizona State a lot, and so that's going to be a little bit of a battle between USC and Arizona State, but I think USC, if I had to guess, I think they're in the lead, and they've got a good position on them.
All right. Thanks, Bobby, for that question. Next up is Kevin.
Kickers!
You know,
are we talking about kickers?
Oh, I got a doozy of a question later. We're going to have to. It's pretty funny. Actually, just a shout out to all the Facebook people out there. We have a really large USC fan group on Facebook. I created, I don't know, maybe a few months ago. We already have close to 9,600 fans on this USC football Facebook page. It's like the official USCfootball.com Facebook fan page, and we put up, you know, a lot of the content we put on USCfootball.com. We'll put links to it on this Facebook page, and people comment and everything. And I put a call out for some recruiting questions on there, so I think that gave us a couple more interesting ones, Gerard, than what we would see just from people.
Interesting is an interesting word to use.
Yeah, from the Peristyle. Why don't we go to one of those? Let's go to one of those. Just, you know, we had the kicker one, but we also, this one's from Stefano. I'm not sure if he quite understood. I mean, it's an interesting concept, though. He wanted to know if USC is recruiting any in Mexico. And I guess this is a, you know, Cinco de Mayo-themed podcast. We might as well talk about that. What schools would they visit down in Mexico is what he wanted to know. And, you know, honestly, Gerard, out of the country, you know, I remember them getting Trey Henderson from Canada. I don't remember really anyone coming from south of the border. Do you remember anybody or anyone that USC has ever showed interest there?
No, and I think with the swine flu at this point, it's looking very unlikely. So New Mexico, possibly, but I don't think New Mexico, they're going down there. USC soccer team probably should go down to Mexico and recruit, but USC football, not at this point, no.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. A little bit of Canada, but I haven't seen much Mexico there. But that was from Stefano. So we got, I think that was a Facebook question, so we got a little different flavor there. Kevin sent, he likes sending in questions. He sent in a few. I'll try to get to this one now. Is USC recruiting Joe McKnight's little brother, Jonathan McKnight? Will they offer him? And he also wanted to know if USC could get Jeff Luke, Jordan James, Trevon Reed, or...
Okay, let's start with the first question.
Okay,
first
cool.
Question,
let's go with that.
Yes, they are recruiting Jonathan McKnight. Does he have a scholarship offer? Kind of, sort of. He's a kind of a verbal offer guy at this point, at least talking to him. And he'd be recruited as a defensive back, whereas Joe plays running back. Jonathan is a defensive back. He's probably going to come in and play corner. But, you know, we'll see about the scholarship offer. We'll kind of see how that all plays out. That was kind of according to him. I didn't really get a confirmation as to whether he was going to get a written offer or what have you. But they are recruiting him, and he's interested in USC. He also likes Alabama a lot. He's got some good ties with Nick Saban. Well, obviously, when Nick Saban was at LSU, he was close to the McKnight family. And, you know, Joe, I think if Nick Saban was at Alabama when he was being recruited out of high school, it would have been probably pretty tough to get him away from Alabama. So there's some ties there. And I honestly wouldn't be I don't think it's a stretch to say Alabama might be in the lead even still with Jonathan McKnight. So that's the first question. Now, just USC recruiting, go ahead and list the guys.
Okay, Jeff Luke.
Jeff Luke, yes, USC's recruiting him. Do they have a shot at him? At this point, I think it's slim. I don't get the feeling like Jeff Luke is really interested in going far away from home and playing football. I think it's kind of a Miami, Florida. You know, Florida State might be in there as well. But, I mean, the only time he's going to visit USC would be on an official visit, and he isn't really committed to doing that. So I think that's I like to say even early in the recruiting process, it's kind of a long shot. You get a kid in visits. That's great. You never know what could happen, but at this point, I wouldn't necessarily hold my breath for Jeff Luke.
You want to give a quick synopsis of who he is?
Jeff Luke is a 6'1", 235, 240-pound linebacker, number one linebacker in the nation from Port St. Lucie, Florida. And probably, I mean, he looks like the most explosive linebacker in the country at this point. So obviously, that's a need for USC. They want to get some linebackers. They're probably looking for at least three guys in this class. And he would definitely be the top of the board. He's a five-star guy. But like I said, he just doesn't necessarily give me the vibe like he's willing to travel a whole lot to go to college.
All right. That'll tie into a question we have later on, too, with some of the big-name out-of-state linebackers. But how about Jordan James next?
Not really. Jordan James, running back out of Corona High School. About 5'11", 6 foot. He's getting close to about that 200-pound range. He's a big, stocky kid. Very, very good football player. He's got a million scholarship offers. He's all the way from Florida. A lot of schools really like him. But at this point, I mean, we talked to Jordan. I saw Jordan last year, and we also talked to him in November, I think. He wasn't really excited about USC because of the depth chart. And, you know, that's kind of tough because SC wants guys to come in and compete. You know, they don't want guys to even look at the depth chart. And he basically said at that point in the year, I'm really not looking at USC, not really interested in USC because of that, because I don't, you know, I feel like I wouldn't be able to go in there and kind of be the guy and play early. So that's what he's looking for in a college. So I think USC and him have parted ways. Unless all of a sudden he kind of changes his mind, decides, you know, hey, I'm good enough to go ahead and compete with the guys they already have in there.
All right, and Trevon Reed.
Trevon Reed, you know, that's – the really difficult one to figure out because he, you know, this is a kid who's 5'11", 6 foot, about 175 pounds, just tremendous talent. We saw him at the underclassmen Army All-American Combine in San Antonio, one of the smoothest, fastest receivers out there. Now, the one catch is that he's a lot like Robert Woods. Robert Woods is a little bigger, I think a little more physical, might have a little more intangibles, whereas I think Reed could be a little more athletic. But that might be a little bit of a thing where it could conflict with USC. You know, they kind of got a plan A, and they put too much into Reed, and might kind of ruin what they're looking for, what their, you know, ultimate plan is in terms of, you know, recruiting receivers this year. And also the thing with Reed is that it could be a little bit of spinning your wheels. Reed comes from LSU town, Thibodaux, Louisiana. and he's probably going to end up at LSU. Now, the caveat here is that Reed and Lake Seastrunk are very tight. People say they're cousins and whatnot. I don't know about all that. I've talked to both those guys and hung out with them a little bit. They're tight. They're friends. They've talked about going to the same college. It could happen. If it happens, it'll be LSU at this point. But you know, I've heard a lot about package deals in the past, and they don't necessarily always follow through. So at this point, no, it doesn't seem like Trevon Reed is hot. But he'd be a guy that I think personally, just watching evaluation wise, certainly good enough to play at USC. It's just a matter of, well, USC, they feel like they'd be spinning their wheels going after him, or they feel like he might just kind of boggle up the recruiting that they want to do at the receiver position with other guys.
All right, cool. And Lake Seastrunk was actually his fourth guy, so that's good. But we've talked about him before.
Lake Seastrunk, yeah. 5'10", 190 pounds, explosive, definitely a stop-start kind of running back. Different than Joe McKnight, different than a lot of running backs that you see out there. He's a little closer. I make the comparison to C.J. Spiller just because he's one of those guys that can stop on a dime and explode, and that's really hard to teach. I mean, it's really hard to find in running backs, and that's, you know, people are looking for guys to break angles. That's fine, but you know what? If you can't break away and accelerate from contact, guys are going to pursue, and they're going to gain tackle you, and they're going to get the angle on you. And that's what we've seen a little bit with Joe McKnight. We've seen that with, you know, some of these other running backs that come in to college from high school that everybody's all hyped up about. Seastrunk's a guy that can just stop on a dime and just explode away and beat angles. So, yeah, he's right now the top running back in the nation, number two overall in the nation, regardless of position. And USC, LSU, Auburn, there's a few different schools. I think it's going to come down to LSU and USC at the end. And we'll see how that plays out.
All right, cool. Great stuff, Gerard. Thanks. This one is from David. Kind of an interesting question. He wanted to know, what issues do other schools use against USC that you've heard of that are kind of like what you'd say negative recruiting? And how often do you think that's effective when other schools use that negative recruiting tactics against the Trojans?
It's hard to gauge how effective it is because, you know, it's really effective for the kids that maybe don't really want to go to USC, or they're not necessarily sold on USC. I think if a kid really wants to be a Trojan, you know, just like he wants to be a Gator or he wants to go to Notre Dame, there's not a lot of stuff you can say to him to sway him from that. It's the kids that are on the fence that are not sure, which, you know, you get some of those every year. But how much it works with those 50-50 kids, it's really hard to say. I mean, you know, maybe 40% of the kids, 50% of the kids, and then the other 50% you get, you know, who knows? What's used is usually depth chart. You know, you're going to go to USC, you're going to sit on the bench. That's first and foremost. And we've seen that even with other schools. I mean, Florida ran into it last year. They went in, they won a national championship. They started losing recruits. They started losing commitments. And, you know, people go, wow, how do you win a national championship and lose four commitments? Well, because of the depth chart. Other schools start pointing to it, and they say, listen, they got a young team. They got all these guys coming back next year. You're not going to play. You're going to sit on the bench. And these kids buy that, and they want to play early. I mean, they all think they're superstars, so that works for them a lot of the time. USC's location, I mean, it's in inner city L.A., and so a lot of people say, oh, you're going to go to USC, and there's gangs, and, you know, you're going to get caught in the gang warfare and the drive-by shooting and all that kind of good stuff, and they kind of scare them. Usually that kind of wears off once a kid actually goes to USC and gets on campus and sees it. You know, it's really not like that. But those are probably the two things that jump out the most when you talk to kids.
All right, cool, good stuff. This is from Brian. It's two questions, but it's kind of the same thing. I'll tell you both. What are some of the local prospects without a USC offer at this time that we should watch out for, and who are your candidates for breakout offers at the Rising Stars camp at USC, which I guess those kind of go hand in hand?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, the guys that USC likes that feel that they have to evaluate more are obviously going to get invited to the Rising Stars camp. I think, you know, right now the guys that are kind of on that cusp of being really good players, but, you know, how good are they going to be? Are they going to be able to kind of get over that hump of being scholarship offer type guys? I think one guy that comes to mind is Kenny Stills, who's a 6'2", 170-pound receiver out of San Diego. Fast kid. He's a 200-meter type kid. He's a little lean, but he's a kid that caught 80 balls at La Costa Canyon last year. So, I mean, that's a guy that, you know, receiver position, they're going to try to take more than, you know, two guys probably. So he's definitely a guy to look out for. Kalen Clay from Long Beach Poly, 5'10", 160-pound receiver that's kind of a little more of that jitterbug kind of guy. But another guy, 100 meters, 10.88. You know, he's a fast kid. He's a kid that you're going to have to watch out for a little bit. Offensive line, you're always trying to look to see who are these kids are going to develop, who are these kids are going to kind of be those late bloomers that physically can kind of just catch somebody's eye at a camp. Who knows at this point? At this point, we haven't seen a lot of linemen that are guys that we're really looking for and going, you know, this guy could definitely develop. We're still waiting for that. But that's the position for the Rising Stars camp, specifically talking about that, you know, we're really going to kind of watch for and see if anybody pops out, anybody who's kind of developed into like that go-to big-time player, that big-time offensive lineman, because they need it. They need to find some guys in state that they can recruit early. So that's kind of the base of guys at this point. I like Anthony Brown a lot as a cornerback. He's about 5'10", 180 pounds. We've seen him play a running back a lot. He's from Kaiser High School. He's probably a generally 4-star guy. He's physical. He's been an MVP at every camp basically he's been at, whether it be running back or even playing defensive back. So that's a guy that he's a little short for USC, but, you know, talent-wise, I mean, it's hard to beat that kid. And then Tevin McDonald up there in Fresno is another cornerback. He's a little taller, about 5'11", 6', 180 pounds. The brother of TJ McDonald, son of Tim McDonald. This guy's got a great pedigree, and we saw him at the National Underclassmen Combine in San Antonio playing cornerback specifically, man-on-man, and he looked just about as good as anybody else. So that was another guy that we really liked a lot. So there are kids out there that are definitely going to come up, and they're going to get that opportunity at the Rising Stars camp, most likely at the Rising Stars camp, and be able to kind of jump out and do some things. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the offensive line, we're waiting. We're salivating over, you know, oh, there's going to be this kid that pops up. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And, you know, I'm sure linebacker is going to be also a position that you're hoping that guys kind of develop in. A guy that we're kind of watching at this point, Killian Cooper from Locke High School, 6'3", 215-pound linebacker that nobody's really seen, nobody's really talked to. Well, we've heard things about him. It's mostly hearsay at this point about how good he is. But we haven't seen him in any video or seen him in person, but maybe another kid that's kind of a dark horse that might come in to a camp situation and kind of blow everybody away.
All right. Wow. Good stuff, Gerard. Yeah, the Rising Stars camp should be fun. We'll be covering that, of course, on uscfootball.com. We always get the best coverage for that stuff. Gerard is all over everything, all the offers it breaks. Gerard always knows what's going on, so let's go check out uscfootball.com for that. This is from Derek, sent in about 15 questions or so. So there's a couple. We'll get to some quick ones. But one of the more interesting ones was, there's always like a big recruiter, and you know, usually at your recruiting class, like Matt Barkley was a pretty big recruiter. He committed early. Of the kids that committed early in the class of 2010, who do you think the big recruiters are for USC? These are kids that they commit to USC, and then they try to convince other kids to commit there as well.
The kids, out of the kids that have already committed, it's kind of early for that question, only because there's only 6 commitments on the board. So, of the guys that are committed at this point, I don't know if there's really that kid in the class at this point. I mean, if I had to say, I'd say maybe Dylan Baxter. Dylan Baxter, commands a lot of respect, I think, from fellow recruits because his name has been out there forever. I mean, because he's played as a freshman, and he was a guy that was kind of that Noel Devine, where his freshman tape was out there and everybody was oohing on about him at Mission Bay. And he would be probably the closest thing to that. But, you know, honestly, I don't know that there's really that kind of recruiter in this class at this point. And to be honest with you, Matt Barkley wasn't the biggest recruiter. He kind of, I think a lot of people assume that, and he kind of has that personality, or at least, you know, he kind of gives off that vibe like he's one of those guys that people would just kind of they would gravitate towards, other recruits would. And I think that's true. He definitely has a leadership ability, but he's not the kind of kid to go up and start calling kids. And he never really did that. He never really even called Vontaze Burfict and was on the phone with them saying, hey, man, you can't go to ASU. You got to go to USC. That never happened. And so, to be really honest, I don't know that Matt was necessarily the big-time recruiter that people made him out to be. He wasn't Chris Galippo. You know, Chris Galippo could probably get, co-coordinator award with I think it was Lane Kiffin that actually recruited Everson Griffin. I mean, because, he was in Everson's ear at the Rising Stars camp, man. He's like – Oh, you got to be here, man. You see this? You see these coaches? I mean, he was calling them, and it was a whole thing with Chris. And you could talk to Chris, and Chris knew everything going on about the recruiting process and who the other guys USC was recruiting. And, I mean, he was really kind of like a satellite recruiter a little bit. Matt wasn't so much like that, and I don't know that anybody – I don't know if anybody in this class would necessarily be like that. It tends to be the quarterbacks that take that upon themselves because they're leaders, and they kind of feel like, hey, this is my class. I want to surround myself with great players. I want to have great receivers. So, you know, maybe if they recruit a quarterback in this class, that might be the guy that does it. But at this point, they're still evaluating those options.
All right. And then there's a couple – these will be real quick ones just from Derek. Will USC take four running backs in this class?
No.
No. Okay. Tony Jefferson, strong safety, free safety or linebacker?
I'm thinking strong safety at this point. I mean, USC is now officially recruiting him as a safety, so I think being that he plays linebacker and the guy hits like a ton of breaks, I can see him being a strong safety and eventually being a guy who's going to be 210, 215 pounds. He can do a little bit of what Kevin Ellison does. Yeah. He's got to bulk up a lot, but yeah.
Okay, then last one, Anthony Brown, corner or safety?
Corner. He'd have to be a corner. He's only about 5'10 at this point, so he'd have to be a corner. And he's you know, for USC, tad short for corner, but the kid, he's explosive and he's built, you know. He's built like a brick house.
All right. Well, Gerard, thanks, thank you for answering all those questions. Thanks, everyone else, for sending
those in.
Thanks,
everybody, for asking questions. I think I sparked a little bit of interest just because I had my own questions that I was willing to ask myself, you know, in place of other people's questions, which I thought were good questions. They're questions that I often ponder. So I was ready, but hey, you know, we got other questions. We didn't get anything from England this week, and I'm a little bummed about that. Hoping that we'd stretch, we'd go global. You know, we got to get into Munich and Germany and, you know, talk to our comrades over there in Moscow. I know we got people over there, man.
We had a little international flavor with the Mexico stuff for, you know.
Yeah, Mexico. But was that actually from Mexico or was that just from, like, East L.A.?
I don't know. He didn't list an address there, but it definitely had a, you know, a Latin name. So, it, you know.
No, I have
heritage.
A Latin name, too.
Yes,
so.
That's true. And I think I'm more Mexican than you are, which is kind of
funny. You are, because you had a burrito today and Janet made you margaritas. So you've got one up on me. I'm drinking water and eating, you know, waffles or whatever.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Gerard. And Mike, you sent in that audio question, so email me your address.
That was Rich, wasn't it? Wasn't it
Rich? Rich, I'm sorry. Rich, sorry about that. But I'll send you a T-shirt. For doing that. Anyone else, if you can send an audio question, we'll definitely take the time to send you a T-shirt out. Thank you for doing that. And thank you, Gerard.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, everyone else, stay tuned. We're going to have our little USC football draft with Dan Wyke right after this quick break.
Meet us on the other side of the break for more of the Peristyle Podcast. Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287, 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater. We now return to the Peristyle Podcast and your host, Ryan Abraham.
Welcome back to the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, publisher of USCFootball.com, and we have our USCFootball.com beat writer, Dan Wyke, joining us this segment. What's up, Dan?
Ryan, how are you?
Good, good. Are we ready for a little trash talk?
I am. I'm excited. See, all along, I've always felt smarter than you, but today I get to prove it. It's very exciting.
Exactly. Okay, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to draft a complete team, Dan and I both. So we're going to just take turns. I won the coin toss, so I'm going to draft first. We're going to draft players that are on the current USC spring roster, and we're going to each make a starting 11. Or on offense, we're actually going to have 13 guys. A starting defense and a starting offense, and then we're going to put it on the USCFootball.com message boards and kind of see whose team would win if you're playing these two teams against each other. So I just thought it'd be a little fun, and it kind of shows, you know, who we think is important on this team and stuff like that. Who would be kind of the guys that are you couldn't afford to lose if you were a Trojan? Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's make one thing clear. Yeah, that's great. I want to make one thing clear. We're playing to win today.
Yes.
If we had to play, and like the other thing that we talked about before. We're going to assume that everybody is healthy, but if a player has injury problems, traditionally, you know, that would lower said player's value.
Right. So, I mean, there, yeah, so there's different examples of that. And what we're going to do is on offense,
the Luther Brown rule.
You don't have to call it out on, you know, the poor guy. Someone that's had like a history of injuries, whereas like if a guy's hurt during the spring, it doesn't, we're going to say, you know, he would be healthy for the fall, like a Joe McKnight or something. There's not going to be any fall off there from that. We're going to actually on offense, we're going to draft two tailbacks, just so we'll have two because there's a lot in there anyway. And we're going to take three receivers. So there'll be two extra guys on offense. But we're going to draft every position, and we can go in any order. It doesn't really matter. And since I have the first pick, I am going to take Taylor Mays.
Yeah, that's pretty safe. It flips to me now.
Yes.
With pick number two, and I'm going to go offense here. And I'm going to take barely legal himself, 18, Damian Williams.
Damian Williams. That's an interesting pick. Interesting.
It's a good one. He's the best player on my offense.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Well, if you're going to go him, I'm going to have to. If you leave me, I have no choice. I'm going to take Everson Griffin.
Ooh, okay. I like it. All right. You have Everson Griffin there. Loading up on defense, I see. All right, now it gets a little interesting. that was as far as I have my pre-draft board. All right, let's see. Okay, I'm going to go off the board here. Assuming everything is good, this person, I'm going to take the best player, I thought, in spring football. I'm going to take Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley, wow, very interesting. That is an interesting pick.
I need someone to get the ball with Damian.
All right, so you're sticking on offense. I better pick an offensive guy since you already have Damian Williams. I don't think I can let you have both awesome receivers, so I'm going to have to go with Rojo, Ronald Johnson.
All right, that's kind of boring. I think that's a little early for him. Okay, I'm going to go defensive end here. I'm going to take Armand Armstead.
Whoa, Armand Armstead. He was a defensive tackle a few weeks ago. Now you're picking him like...
And then you... and that they were like, they saw him there for like 20 seconds and they're like, okay, this was the right decision. Gotta like it.
You gotta like it. All right. Well, here's a guy that I think is a linchpin on the offensive line. I don't think you can go without him. And I think USC saw that a little bit this spring. I'm going to have to take Christopher O'Dowd at center.
Ooh, I'd already started writing down a different pick there for you.
You did? You're assuming a different pick for me? Okay. Well, I'm taking O'Dowd.
Okay, then if you're going to take O'Dowd, you're going to force my hand to take center. I'm going to take Jeff Byers.
Jeff Byers. Oh, okay, really.
And I will play him at center.
You will play Jeff Byers. Okay, that's cool. He's listed on the depth chart as a possible center. And that's, you know, you got an emergency center. So that's I don't think that's so good for your team. Emergency center snapping to a true freshman quarterback. So I don't like your chances already. Well, you got to protect the blind side, and guys that go really high in the NFL drafts. I'm going to go Charles Brown at left tackle.
Damn it. That's a good one.
Are you allowed to swear on the podcast? I guess you are. Okay. I hope this is entertaining. This is entertaining for us. I don't know if it's entertaining for everyone else, but I'd love to see what people say, so go on the message boards and talk about who you think and if our picks are on crack or whatever. But okay, you're up, Dan.
All right, I'm going to take maybe the most exciting defensive player of the spring outside of Everson Griffin, Malcolm Smith.
That's a great pick. I like Malcolm a lot. I don't know if I would pick him as the first linebacker to go, but, I don't know if I want to be mean or not, but I think I'm going to have to do this. This is going to be an interesting pick. I'm going to take Michael Morgan, the other outside linebacker.
I like it. Good pick for you. Michael Morgan, for the record, has still yet to make a solo tackle. So good chance. With you taking Michael Morgan, I will take another linebacker. I'm going to take Chris Golubic.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I like that pick a lot. Good stuff there with Chris, of course. I mean, he's a... You know, he's got his injury problems, though. That's the other thing. You want to talk about injuries.
Assuming his back is functioning.
Right. I'm going to go, and I like the way my offensive line is shaping up. I'm going to take Tyron Smith, someone that Pat Rule thinks is the best offensive lineman they have. So I'm going to go Tyron Smith at right tackle.
Okay, that's a good pick. It's not bad. He looks like Greg Oden, so you get bonus points there for
okay.
the oldest guy on the team. By like 5 or 6 years. All right. I am going to take Kevin Thomas.
Ooh, going corner.
Yeah, I think that's the right time for him. Make some plays. He's bulked up. I think he's the number one cornerback right now.
All right. I don't have any issues with that one. I think I'm going to go. Interesting. I think I'm going to go with another corner myself. I'm going to take Sharice Wright.
I like it. It's a good pick. Hopefully his neck works.
Yeah. he's going to be fine. He's fine.
Yeah. I know. He should be. I'm also going to stay in this cornerback secondary mode here. I'm going to take a guy who's kind of a flex guy for me on defense. I'm going to take Josh Pinkert.
Josh Pinkert. All right. I like it.
Reserving the right to potentially play him at corner, too, depending on how.
Interesting. You draft guys that have potential to play other positions. So that's good. I like that a lot. Where should we go? So we got a lot of defensive guys have gone early. No interior line yet. No running backs yet. I think I'm going to go with. Ooh, interesting.
Here's where I screwed up, by the way. I'm going to point this out.
Yeah.
I screwed up because, never mind. I'm going to throw you for a loop later.
Okay.
Well, no, I'll just say it. By taking Barkley so early, you're just not going to draft Cork. You can take Cork for your last pick.
Yeah, exactly.
until though, I do reserve the right to draft him as my second running back.
Okay, you can do that. That would be fine. You know what? I just was so impressed with this kid his last year as a run star. I'm going to go with Jarrell Casey at nose tackle.
Oh, that's sick. He was on my big board.
Ooh, very nice.
If I had a big board, he'd be on it. All right. I am going to – you know, pass rush is such an important part of this defense, and – This is a tough pick for me here, but I'm going to go with Malik Jackson, who I think might be the best pure pass rusher on the team, not named Everson Griffin, plus he doesn't jump off sides.
Okay. So. Good point. I like that one. No, Malik, I mean, and that's a guy that, you know, you could have waited on, but I might have taken him as well to play opposite Everson, of course. So that's I guess that's the advantage when you have more than one spot, you can pick a different guy there and – No, I think that's a good pick. He had a really great spring. It's gonna be hard to keep him off the field, huh?
Yeah, he's fast. He's just really fast off the ball.
Definitely. All right. You know, I'm looking at guards. Nothing's like jumping out at me at guard because they're moving guys around a little bit. You know, it's interesting. I think I might have to go Avril Spicer at defensive tackle. I think I'm going to take him. I have a good line going so far.
You can have him. No offense, Avril.
No offense. All right, I'm going to take Anthony McCoy.
Ooh, very nice. I like that pick.
I'm trying to give Barkley weapons here at this point, and I think I gave him the biggest, most consistent pass catcher. So
I do like that. Speaking of big pass catchers, I'm going to take a second wide receiver. I'm going to go with David Osbury.
All right. Again, good luck. We're going with fall production here, not spring production. I just want to point that out. So the fact that, I mean, you just drafted maybe the greatest spring football player in the history of USC football that hasn't shown up in the box score yet on Sunday. So that's fine. I like that pick for you.
USC does play on Saturdays, Dan, just FYI. But
did I say Sunday?
Yeah.
I said box score. Well, the box score comes out on Sunday.
Okay. That's for the people that still read newspapers, and if they're reading USCfootball.com, probably not. All right.
All three of them.
Your pick.
All right. I am going to take another offensive weapon here for my boy Matt Barkley. I'm going to draft the Tongan Jimmy Clausen, Stanley Havili.
Oh, I like it. Stanley, it's killing me. Don't, if Stanley, if you're, Stanley,
and,
you're
and
listening.
I'm going to trade him to you. I'm going to propose a trade. I will propose Havili for Everson Griffin and your next pick, because I know how much you love Havili.
I do. Havili's just one of my boys. I really like him. It's hard not to like. I'm going to take Joe McKnight.
Jesus. On my list. Good pick.
Thank you. Thank you. No running backs yet. I mean, because you can get two, and there's so many good ones. It's not really going to be a position that, you know, you worry about, I guess. But I had to take him. Yeah. He's just too explosive.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player. I'm going to take a sort of hybrid player. I'm not sure if I'm going to throw him at guard or if I'm going to throw him at tackle. I'm going to take Butch Lewis.
Another one of those can play all over the place. You might need him at tackle since I made a run on. I got the two big tackles there.
I wouldn't worry about it. I've got another couple hybrid guys that I'm ready to throw out there. So
hybrid guys, okay. Let's see who we got left. I think I'm going to go. Oh, so many good ones out there. So many good. I think I'm going to take Jordan Campbell.
Okay.
I think he's I needed another linebacker there, and I think he's proved himself in the spring. So another spring guy. We'll see how he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice player. I'm sure that he's ready to be kind of like an every down weak side linebacker, which is why I took Malcolm Smith so early. Really. Not in that vein at all. I'm gonna go with another breakout guy from the spring. The guy who I think is going to make a big leap, I'm going to take TJ Bryant.
Oh, I was taking him next. Very good pick. I like it.
Which means that I am keeping Pinkert at safety.
You will keep Pinkert at safety. Okay. I mean, I got Mays at safety, so I'm not really worried about.
you could run out anybody. You could run out any of those guys from the three defense, and you'd be good at safety.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. I'm going to go with the guy who played part of the spring with a cast on his arm, Alex Parsons at guard.
I like it. Good pick. Another guy who, if O'Dowd, were to go down, shift over, do some different things with him. Let's see. Where are we at? I need two tackles. Well, I'll take Christian Tupu right now. Good motor. I'm not 100% ready to write him off in the battle with Terrell Casey at nose tackle. I think there's a place for Christian Tupu on this football team, and I think they're going to find a way to play him. So that's where I'm going.
All right. I'm going to go with – I'm going to complete my offensive line, and I'm going to go with Nick Howell.
Killing me.
I'm liking my offensive line, Dan. I'm really liking my offensive line.
Breaking my heart. Too bad you don't have a quarterback.
Well, I'm going to have the starting quarterback.
Not necessarily. I've always thought that Corp is built a little like Mike Morgan. Maybe he can play outside linebacker too for me. All right. Who is left to draft on the offensive line? I think at this point I can just kind of sit on those guys.
Yeah.
I will take the Prince of LA, Stephon Johnson.
Oh, I like it.
I think probably there. That's a good spot for him. I think that he is a workhorse type running back, and with him and Havili, I think that there's no way you can beat me in the backfield.
All right. Well, I already got Joe McKnight.
You do.
Okay. And just to be sporting, I'm going to take Aaron Corp, bro. I'll take him off the board just in case. Just make sure you don't draft him at linebacker or something.
I was actually going to maybe take him as my number two running back. My next pick. So,
good thing I got him. All right.
Yeah. You stole him from me. All right. Let's see here. Where am I going to go? I am going to go with my second receiver, the guy that I think fits well on the outside across from Damien Williams. I'm going to go with Bryce Butler.
Ooh, interesting. You like guys that like to drop the football. Okay, that's not too bad.
Occasionally.
All right. I'm going to go, since I got the shifty guy, I'm going to take C.J. Gable as the workhorse in the backfield.
Speaking of guys who like to drop the football.
Oh, ouch.
Right on cue. All right, that leaves me with an interesting running back dilemma here. I could go Alan Bradford, who...
Talk about performing in the spring. I mean, he's
when he's not having his hip operated on.
Yes.
Or I could go Moody McNeil, who I feel like needs to be drafted, probably. You know what? I would take Curtis McNeil.
He played too good not to play, and I don't think you can tackle him.
Okay. Curtis McNeil off the board. That means no Mark Tyler, no Alan Bradford drafted. I'm going to go and take my third receiver and get Trayvon Patterson.
I like it. Good pick, shifty. And now that you've taken him, I'm going to see your tiny – I'm essentially going to draft the opposite of Trayvon Patterson.
You're going to
wide receiver.
Jordan Cameron?
Yes. So I will take Jordan Cameron, the exact opposite of Trayvon Patterson.
All right. You know, I was disappointed we didn't see any jump balls to Jordan Cameron. You know, we wanted to see
you
some of those.
You know what? It blows my mind that they don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that's like the most money in the bank play.
It's a rebound for him. I don't get it. Okay. I need a tight end. I think I'm going to go with Blake Ailes. I know Red Ellison had a nice spring, but I just like Blake Ailes too much.
I don't like that pick there. I think Ellison is the better player right now.
Wow.
I just think that's. I mean, have you seen a consistent effort from Blake Ailes yet? Period.
Well, he got hurt. He had a nice touchdown last year, and then he got hurt.
Like week two.
Well, then he got hurt. What are you going to say? I mean, come on, give the guy a break.
Even before that, I don't know.
Look, if you're gonna draft Matt Barkley, your second pick, that's on upside. I mean, Blake Ailes has got the upside.
Matt Barkley might have been the best quarterback.
But there's upside. He didn't know. He hasn't played at all. You're saying Blake Ailes only got to play a couple games. He looked great when he was out there.
Played at all? Your quarterback hasn't played at all yet either.
No, but he was named
the
starter.
Longer.
All right. Well, let's keep going. Keep going with the draft. Is it my turn or your turn?
It would be my pick. You just wasted yours on Blake Ailes.
Okay.
I'm going to take maybe my favorite player on the USC football roster. I got this.
Your favorite player is, I don't know. Who is your favorite player?
Drew McAllister.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to take Drew McAllister and throw him opposite to Pinkard. I just like it, and I know what I'm leaving open for you there, if you wanted safety. But I just think McAllister, I like his ball hawking.
Okay, I got to take Will Harris. I mean, I'm going with Will Harris as my other safety.
Yeah, no, that's a no-brainer there.
All right, let's see here. I need some offensive linemen. I need three offensive linemen, a defensive tackle, and a linebacker. And I'm saving my linebacker for my last pick. I will take, let's see, a tackle. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's take Zach Heber
right now.
All right. And I think I need a middle linebacker, and Luther Brown definitely can play there. I'm going to take, even though he's injured sometimes, every once in a while, I'm going to go with Luther Brown.
All right. I would have gone one of, but that's just me.
I think
the way he played, maybe you weren't paying enough attention during spring.
I like the way he played.
He was busy talking to Emily and Michelle.
He was a third stringer for a lot of the spring, man. And you know, Luther, although he's been hurt, I think it's the upside thing. That's what I'm looking for. Going for the upside.
Okay. I mean, drafting Luther Brown is like building a house out of like pegboard.
All right.
What else? Is that right? I'm not very handy.
No.
Let's see here. I'm kind of jammed up on the offensive line. I need another guard. You took Nicole for me. I'm going to have to go young. I mean, I'm going to have to take Matt Colwell will be my next pick. And I will take him at tackle, banking on the fact that he will break out because he's big. I don't know. I'm not thrilled. He got a lot of reps. I just think he's a little ways away. Nothing else to do.
All right. I need another end, defensive end. I'm going to go with the man who just ate up quarterbacks in the last week of spring football, Nick Perry.
Now, that's interesting because I thought about Nick Perry a while ago, actually. But then the thing that kind of sucked me is I'm not sure he had a better spring than Wes Horton.
He finished stronger.
Wes Horton knocked down a lot of passes. He
did.
Finished better.
He finished better. And I think the fact that people asked about him on the message boards and wanted to know, where is he? And we were saying, like, well, he hasn't done anything. And then the last week he went bananas. That's, you know, I got to put him on my team.
I couldn't draft him, too, because he made me look really stupid. that's another reason why I decided to stay away.
I mean,
I just couldn't do it.
How many things have made you look really stupid? I mean, there's countless, you know, people, inanimate objects. So many things have made you look really stupid. I don't think you could not draft a guy because of something like that.
Well, I don't know. It's happened for stupider reasons.
All right.
Ask Ray Malaluga about that, okay. About reasons why you don't get drafted. Okay, let's see here. Defensive tackle. You know, I kind of liked what I saw out of this guy, and no, I didn't. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Lonnie Fangupo.
Wow.
Even though I know he's not there, and I've yet to see him play, something tells me. Yeah, I know Gerard really likes him. I know the USC coaches really like him.
I really like him. I thought we said you have to get a guy that was on the spring roster. I'll let you have that one, but that's, you know, all right.
He's like 30 years old, so that should count.
He's not. Okay, I'm going to go with Marshall Jones at the other corner.
I like it. Good pick. Ahead of Brian Bachum.
Bachum's my boy, too. He's, you know, he's a local South Bay kid, Torrance, but I think Jones was ahead. They listed him as Orr on the depth chart, but I think Jones was ahead of him.
I do too. I think Bachum is a little bit away. I think by the time the year ends, he's going to be a guy who's capable of playing. Trouble is that there are just too many good corners ahead of him, and you know he's going to have to fight guys that are just more polished at the position at this point. I have another offensive line pick to make here. Who can I take at guard? I'm going to move Butch Lewis to tackle. So that means I will probably take Khalid Holmes at guard, a guy who I think is actually kind of under the radar.
Oh, definitely.
Who actually had a nice spring. I'm going to talk him up right now for everybody on the message board. He looks fantastic out there. Really. Just a monster.
Yeah. He's going to be under the cleats of Jarrell Casey, by the way. So speaking of, okay, I'm going to take DJ Shumate at fullback.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I think it's my last pick.
It is. You have Shumate. And then I will be taking, again, I'm going to break the rules of the draft, my last pick.
Okay.
At strong side linebacker.
You are a cheater. You're known as a cheater. I know that.
I know. I'm going to take Jarvis Jones.
Wow. Okay.
I just think, you know, Nick Garrett's a tempting choice there. I could do some stuff, you know. Well, he's really all that there's there. Before we start talking walk-on. So I'm going to take a guy that I know the coaching staff is super high on, a guy that I think that they think is going to have to come in and play right away. So I'm going to go Jarvis Jones.
All right. Well, we'll post all the results on uscfootball.com. Check on the message boards, and we'll put it on our Facebook page too. We'll put this up there and let everyone kind of debate which team is better and who drafted where and stuff. And it's not necessarily the importance of the players, because the way the draft works, like when Dan picked Matt Barkley early, I knew I didn't have to pick Aaron Korb till later. So the fact that Aaron Korb went in the middle doesn't mean that he's not important. It just meant that the way the draft worked out, if a quarterback went, that was my strategy, Dan. I was going to just take the one you didn't take. So I was just going to wait on quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but I decided to be sporting about it.
Nice. I like it.
I mean, at that point, though, too, I mean, I could have gone O'Dowd, I suppose, or Charles Brown.
I really wanted to get the guys that are irreplaceable, and I thought, you know, Mays, O'Dowd, stuff like guys like that. I wanted to get the tackles, too.
O'Dowd's replaceable. He would replace this spring, like, pretty seamlessly.
The offensive line didn't look as good this spring without O'Dowd in there, to be honest. I mean, but we'll see. I'm happy with. I think my line is just going to bowl you over. But we'll debate this on the message boards. That was a lot of fun, Dan. That was a good idea. Thank you for coming up with that. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed it and didn't find it too boring.
No, every blind squirrel finds a nut, Ryan.
Yeah. You were dominated. That's okay. No problem, Dan. All right. Well, we got to take a break. We're going to come back, talk with Coach Harvey Hyde for a little bit, talking more about the USC football team. Stay tuned this quick 30-second break.
You are listening to the Peristyle Podcast from Los Angeles, California. Hey, USC Trojan fans, to get into the huddle of your Southern Cal Trojans, log on to uscfootball.com today for all the latest in Trojan football, basketball, and recruiting news. Ryan Abraham will give you an in-depth analysis, recruiting updates, and will answer your questions every day on the message board. So for all the latest in team and recruiting news on your USC Trojans, check out uscfootball.com, the officially licensed Southern Cal site of the Rivals.com network. It's time to get back to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com.
Welcome back to the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham. We have a little change of plans. We're supposed to talk to Coach Harvey Hyde, as I said, in this segment. And it got a little messed up, so we'll let everyone know what happened. Normally tape a show on Wednesday. We tape each segment. I edit it together and try to get it up, you know, within an hour or so of doing all the interviews and get it up in a timely manner on Wednesday. And this is now being released on Thursday. There was a little issue. What ended up happening was I taped the last two segments on Tuesday late night with Gerard and Dan because Wednesday morning, I had a little birthday party to go to, a friend's birthday. We had a big group of people take a party bus up to CBS Studios and watch a taping of The Price is Right. I was going to come home after that, talk to Coach Harvey Hyde and get the podcast up. Well, I go on the show, I get picked, and I do well. So you can see the episode airs on May 21st. We're not supposed to talk about what happened on the show, but I did do really well, so we had to celebrate a little bit. So I apologize for that, and I talked to Coach Hyde. We'll definitely get him on next week. But yeah, so now the podcast is going up on Thursday, so I do apologize for the delay. Unforeseen circumstances happened, and we'll talk about it on uscfootball.com, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on the podcast a little bit after the show airs. Show airs, I believe it's a Thursday, May 21st. But hope you enjoy the podcast, the draft, and all the recruiting questions. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your iPod or MP3 player for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.